Very good morning. I missed my cue, I'm sorry. Welcome this morning. Great to see you if you're here for the first time or visiting. It's wonderful to see you and to you at home. I know there are some names in the room at home that we don't recognise. We'd love for you to just put something in the chat if you want to let us know how you found us this morning. You're very welcome. We're continuing through the Sermon on the Mount. You'll probably find it helpful to have Matthew chapter 5 open before you. We'll work through these verses fairly in good order this morning. Let's pray as we come to God's word. Our Father, as our Lord Jesus sat on that mountain, as the Word of God speaking the Word of God, Father, we pray that we might properly sit at his feet and learn from him for Jesus' sake. Amen. There used to be something called the Mothers' Union Deanery Festival. I'd just arrived as vicar back in 2005, and I was invited to this as one of the local clergy, and all the local clergy were invited. I had no idea what to expect, but like all festivals, I was expecting a main stage and a mosh pit. Well, turns out Mothers' Union Deanery Festival isn't like that. It's not even a few stalls and some presentations in the village hall. So when I arrived in fairly casual clothing, I'm ushered into the vestry to find all the local clergy robing for what turned out to be a formal church service, which started with a clergy procession into a full church. I wonder if you have a memory of what it feels like to stand out like a sore thumb. That's before I'd even thought of the embarrassment I was causing to the members of the Mothers' Union from here in those days. I knew I couldn't hide. The good people of the Mothers' Union will never forget, I guessed. And the story will spread about the new vicar of Holy Trinity. I didn't deliberately look like a fool. It was not one of my deliberate attempts at that. But I was definitely the sore thumb, the thorn amongst roses, the fish on dry land, the blot on the landscape, and the fly on the wedding cake. And as Jesus teaches his followers from his throne on the mountainside, he says, "This is what it will be like for my followers. My blessed people, the people in right relationship with God, my righteous people, the people doing the right thing as we live towards the restoration of all things," Jesus says, "you're going to stand out like a sore thumb. You'll often feel like a fish out of water. People might even say you're a blot on the landscape." But it is in this case, Jesus says, such a good thing to be that you should do it deliberately. So if you've got the sheet outline in front of you, you'll see the first there. There's a few things to fill in just to help you to keep up. Followers of Jesus stand out. Simple as that. You are the salt of the earth, verse 13. You are the light of the world. Verse 14. What's salt in verse 13, and then the town or city on a hill in verse 14, and the lamp that is lit in verse 15. What they all have in common is that they stand out. And Jesus says, you are the salt and the light. It's the presence of followers of Jesus that will change what things look like. It'll change the overall view of a community. Well, is that really how we should think about ourselves? I don't know if you remember the old paintings by, I can't remember his first name, Lowry was his second name. This magic stick, matchstick men. Yeah, I can't remember. It's too long ago. 1980s, I seem to remember a song about that. Matchstick men and cats and dogs. You imagine one of those pictures, and it's kind of an industrial northern town with some buildings around about, and then there's lots of matchstick men and women just walking back and forth across. It's quite two-dimensional. And it's like Jesus is saying, yeah, but where there's one of my followers, instead of just being in black, it'd be like a bright orange. Orange. Just dotted around the place. Because it's the followers of Jesus who will be salt and light. Now, is that really how we should think about ourselves as followers of Jesus? Well, yes. Who are the blessed people? If you cast down your eye down verses 3 to 9, you can see how distinctive, how standing out like a sore thumb, the blessed people of Jesus will be. Because is this how we describe, how you would describe the great mass of people in our town or in our nation, wherever it is, or in the world? Is this how you describe your class at school or the street where you live? That everybody's marked by being and knowing that they are poor in spirit. That they're all hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Is mercy what marks out our normal world? Purity of heart. See, those things that characterize followers of Jesus are in sharp contrast to ordinary human life, if you like. People are taught to be strong in their own spirit, to believe in themselves, to be their authentic self. And Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit. People might be upset if they get caught doing something wrong, but the follower of Jesus mourns their own sin before God when God is the only one who knows about it. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness in the age of the iPhone 12. Being known for showing mercy. And who else is going around making peace? Including the good news of forgiveness of sins and peace with God. Who's making that kind of peace on top of all the other kinds of peace? The followers of Jesus stand out. And that is us. It's you and me. Because this is the kind of people Jesus is talking to. He's on top of a mountain talking to fishermen and just a crowd of ordinary people. And he says to them, to us, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. It's us, followers of Jesus, stand out. And they stand out everywhere. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Now we see here how expansive Jesus' view of his kingdom is. This salt and this light is going to get everywhere. He's looking at followers getting to the ends of the earth, in every nation, all over the world. He's still talking to fishermen and ordinary folk. Followers of Jesus stand out where they are, yes. And followers of Jesus can go anywhere else in the world and stand out too. In fact, that's the most important thing you do when you move. If you move house, or if you go to university, or even if you go on holiday, you take your salt and light with you. And you can devote your life to that in some other part of the world, or you can devote your life to it here and now. But wherever we go, we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. So the followers of Jesus stand out everywhere and always. Verse 13, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. See, people who faithfully follow Jesus will always stand out. If we give up on knowing that we are poor in spirit, what will distinguish us from anybody else? If we get proud and we stop forgiving others, we're not going to stand out at all. And we become useless at that point in Jesus' purpose to bring blessing and right relationship with God. But the followers of Jesus won't become like that precisely because they are still following Jesus. We're still on the mountain, listening to our King, listening to this. If the church and the life of the church just looks a lot like the world and the life of the world, well, that's simply because it stopped listening to Jesus as he speaks from his throne. Followers of Jesus stand out everywhere, stand out always, and stand out unavoidably. Verse 14, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Jesus says, the people I'm putting together, the people of my kingdom, these blessed people, they won't be able to hide. However much we might try and blend in, people are still going to notice the difference. And Jesus is saying, my followers, you're just going to have to live with that. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. We've thought about this already, really. If the grace by which we're saved and transformed takes the shape of the Beatitudes, those verses 3-9, we are going to look different. Nobody else is characterized by this. We are rarely going to get the lead role in a Disney film. We are unlikely to be in the top 10 influencers on YouTube. We may be somewhere people will trust when they really need help. But either way, a town built on a hill cannot be hidden. We will stand out. But let's not worry about that, because Jesus teaches us that followers of Jesus stand out on purpose. Verse 15. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, the most extensive piece of research into the public perception of the Church of England has been done over the last year or so. It came up with four major findings, the fourth of which is this: that the Church of England has a reputation for being embarrassed about God. That's how the nation views the Church of England. And Jesus says, stand out on purpose. Let your light shine before others. How can I do that, you say? Well, remember, Jesus knows that he's speaking to people like you and me. But I'm too weak to do that. Well, think of it this way. The very fact that I bring nothing in my hands, in my poverty of spirit, and simply cling to the cross of my King, is itself light to the world. My mourning over my sin, whenever I see it, in myself and in the world, my lowliness, blessed are the meek, my lowliness, knowing my proper place under God and with one another, my hungering and thirsting for righteousness, because I know how much I lack it, that is itself light to my neighbours and my classmates. That we forgive and that we seek to reconcile, and that people can trust us, and that we can invite people to think about peace with God. That is light to our town. And the real driver for standing out on purpose isn't in the end because we can't avoid it, and it isn't even in the end because it's good for other people. Although we can't avoid it, and it is good for other people to see the light. But ultimately, we stand out on purpose because we love the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father in heaven. Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Because the follower of Jesus has found the God who is so good, so complete, so generous, so faithful, that the follower of Jesus wants our Father to be praised. Yes, he deserves our praise, but he is worthy of everybody's praise. In all the earth, in every nation and town and household. Because he blesses the poor in spirit and gives them the kingdom of heaven. And he comforts and he fills and he gives himself and he adopts as his own people like you and me. Let your light shine that they may glorify your Father in heaven, because we know that he deserves the praise and honour of all people everywhere. Our main driver is the love for the one whom we can, Jesus just sort of slips it in, doesn't he? Your Father. That we have been adopted into his family through the Lord Jesus. We love him, and so we want him to be praised, and so we stand out on purpose. So we stand out, followers of Jesus stand out everywhere, always, unavoidably, on purpose. This applies across the board. I just particularly, for a brief moment, want to focus here on the community hub at the academy. There's more and more talk of plans that are developing for this. It's very exciting. There was a PCC presentation last week to help us to think more deeply about it. Well, what is Jesus teaching us here? Well, he's teaching us that that hub is going to look different from other community hubs. It's going to be built on a different ethos. But it will only really be that if there are plenty of followers of Jesus there, being salty and bright. My friends, as we look towards that opportunity, a place that we hope will be full of the people of the earth and the folk of the world, well, in that place, we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. That's what Jesus says. Will we let our light so shine that people might glorify our Father in heaven? I pray that in 10 years' time of the community hub, we won't be worrying about verse 13. But if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's become useless. See, that's the effect that we hope for. We're sort of into the second heading on your sheet. The effect of the followers of Jesus. That's the effect that we hope for, that through all the good works and witness, all the living of the Beatitudes of people like you and me, the followers of Jesus, that there will be glorifying of our Father. Through all our good works, through the peacemaking that we might even be able to offer between God and people, then maybe they will glorify our Father in heaven. That's the first effect, glorifying the Father. But secondly, there's another effect of Jesus' followers standing out, and that's the persecuting of his children. The living the Beatitudes provokes this too. Jesus, in fact, put it first. We dealt with it last week on the end of the Beatitudes. It's the last one of the Beatitudes too. Jesus put it first before going on to say that being salt and light might bring people to glorify the Father. Now, the effect of following Jesus also means the persecution of his children. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Come back with me to the Mothers Union Deanery Festival. There I was in the vestry, all the clergy robing. There was a fair bit of muttering going on. One local clergyman serving at that time told me to go home. There was one other serving clergyman, some of you know. His name is Keith Musson. And he said to me, "It's just very good that you are with us." You see the same contrast, don't you? When somebody stands out, now I know I was standing out because I've been a fool and hadn't done any research into what it was, but somebody stands out, two responses. Go home, we're glad you're here. Persecution, glorifying our Father. See, we're not listening carefully enough to Jesus if we think we can bring many to praise and love the Father without some opposition, and perhaps costly and serious opposition. How do we know that? Because not even Jesus could do that. He came as the great light in the darkness, where we started our service from the scriptures. The dawning light on those who live in the shadow of death. His teaching was saltier than anything people had ever heard. His good deeds were powerful, undeniable, and perfectly compassionate. And many rejoiced and honoured God because of him. And just as many persecuted him and crucified him on a cross. We need to remember this. We need to remember verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We're salty and bright. We are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We will receive opposition, but we will also bring people to praise and honour God forever. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity as those sent from God. We are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. It's the way it was for the king, persecuted, but bringing salvation. It's the way it is for his followers. And so as we come to this table, the Lord's table, in a few moments, we come poor in spirit. We will confess our sins before we come to the table. But we come as children of God before our Father. And at this table we're saying, now I am, we are Jesus' followers. When he shone his light for us, his death alone, yes, is his death alone in my place is my only hope. And through him alone am I reconciled to my Father. And through him alone am I brought to praise and honour my Father. But at this table we also remember the persecution of Christ. Alongside that honouring of the Father by his children. When we come to this table, this is us saying, yes, Lord, we are salt and light because we're following Jesus. And so by faith at this table, we are fed to eternal life by our Lord Jesus Christ, by faith. And of course, at this table, we already stand out as followers of Jesus. Not everybody eats at this table. This is our distinctive table as followers of Jesus. If that's not yet you, then do watch those of us who are already followers of Jesus as we eat and drink in the way that Jesus taught us to. Followers of Jesus stand out, and followers of Jesus will have their effect. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, you have made us salt and light through your Son Jesus. Strengthen us by your Spirit to live out who we are. Father, we pray this in all respects, wherever we find ourselves, now and in the future. But particularly help us as we seek to develop the community hub. Help us to rejoice even in persecution. And may many praise and honour you because of what you work in us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.